Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
Hey everyone, just want to give you a little bit of a heads up to the start of 2026 as a church. We're going to begin with 2 weeks of prayer and fasting. We want to set our lives and get ourselves ready for all that God's going to do throughout the year. We're going to see an increase of people coming to know Jesus. People need to be discipled, and we want to make ourselves ready for the increase in all that God is going to do, not just in our lives, but through our lives. So we're going to have times of worship, prayer, seeking the Lord together in different ways across the 2 weeks. On the Tuesday evenings, both weeks, we're going to have encounter nights, joint congregations all together here in Horsham. And then on Wednesday evening, local encounter nights in our respective congregations. There's going to be lunchtime prayer here in Horsham at 1 p.m. that anybody can join and be part of. And in each congregation, there'll be different types of prayer going on at different times, and you can find that out in your congregation as to what that will look like, whether it's in person or on Zoom or other gatherings that are going to take place. Now, on the Friday evenings of both those weeks, just want to encourage you to meet with others, eat together, fellowship together, share together, pray together, just have time with one another. So invite people around your home or invite yourself around to someone else's home, but let's use that time to really build community, build fellowship, and share what God is doing in the life of the church. And to finish off the prayer and fasting, we're going to have a joint Sunday, all congregations together here in Horsham on the 25th. We're going to have an awesome morning that day, and it's also going to involve food. And we'll let you know all the details about that later. So let's jump into all that God's going to do. Let's have an amazing start to 2026. Let's all be worshiping, praying and fasting together, all that God's going to do. Bless you.
It won't start this Monday, unless if you're eager, of course, we won't stop you. It's the 12th until the 26th, 25th, I believe. So we've got a week to think about it. And you can ask God, God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want me to stop doing? And then instead of that, I do something else. So we always say that. I know every year we say, you know, don't just torture yourself by not eating. It's what you do instead. It's, I don't know, if you, I don't know, for example, don't have breakfast, then can you pray instead? You know, what is the thing in the instead? I know throughout the Bible, I was looking at it a little bit, how people fast for different reasons. Sometimes it's in a response to an emergency, like, I don't know, the nation's going downhill in the book of Judges, and then someone stands up, says, hey, we need to repent and turn back to God. So it's the kind of emergency fasting. But just, you know, if there's an emergency, we can fast. But this is more like as a spiritual discipline, as a, I want to draw closer to God. I want to set myself, so I choose to do something. And I want to just share a couple of minutes about fasting and praying, really. But in the light of something Kurt shared at the end of the year about the potter and the clay, you know, that scripture that says, it's Isaiah 64, and it says, Kurt, what does it say? yes, thank you. Isaiah 64 said, oh Lord, you are our Father. We know that, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then what are we? We are like clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And if you can put that picture up, Kurt, I think that just demonstrates it. I found this online. And just to see ourselves like we are that clay that he's shaping, right? And that's the picture that's used here. Actually, in a different part, in the book of Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, I want to speak to you, not right here. He says, go down to the potter's house. So go to the person that's doing that, and then I'll speak to you. So Jeremiah goes to the potter's house, and he sees this person masterfully forming, and the clay is a bit shaped a bit wrong, so he kind of reshapes it. And he just watches this. And in that moment, have you got that sometimes when you look at something and suddenly you feel like God's saying something to you? Mm-hmm. So Jeremiah, you know, God says to him, go down there, I'll speak to you. So he watches this master potter. And he just has the sense God is saying to him or to the people at that time, God wants to shape you. God wants to form you. And I found it such a helpful picture. I know Kurt shared about it at the end of last year. And I was thinking of a few questions, though, to myself, and just leave that picture up, Kurt. I was thinking, how moldable am I in the potter's hands?
Wow.
You know, it looks all beautiful, right? But he actually forms and shapes that pot, and he can determine whether it becomes a little cup or a vase or a jug, or you can, you know. Actually, the clay doesn't determine that, does it?
Yeah.
Actually, it's the potter, which can be both, you know, oh, that's not so good. I want to do my own thing. But at the same time, I'm thinking of it as that's my safe place to be. I don't need to try and become this amazing vessel in and of myself. I just need to be on the potter's wheel.
Amen.
I just need that hand to shape and form. So how moldable am I, or are we, in the potter's hands? But then also, I was thinking of, you know, how much in our lives is just up to God, like he just does it or he doesn't do it, and how much is up to me? And I guess you can swing both extremes, and I don't think either are healthy. You can go, well, you know, if God wants me to look like this or become like this as a person, he will just do it. Well, that's not really biblical. I know God's sovereign, but, you know, actually, but it all being our own efforts, we can't make ourselves more holy, right? But it's this constant engagement. It's my choice to, and then I like to look at it like this, to put myself on the potter's wheel. Like he doesn't grab me as the clay, right? He invites me. He says, come follow me,
amen,
right? And then I choose to put myself there and say, God, form me. God, shape me. God, mold me. And then it is back in his hands. It is his initiative. But it's his initiative in that place where I put myself there. So as we start this year and kind of putting God first, I see it as I'm putting myself on that potter's wheel intentionally. I could just go along and God will work. I'm sure there will be a scripture that stands out. No, I want more than that. And I don't know about you, but I want more than that. I want God to shape me, form me. In 1 Timothy, Paul talks about vessels. There are different kind of vessels in a house. That's probably also in the kitchen cupboard here, but maybe in yours, where some cups you just get out all the time. They're kind of, you know, or maybe you have plastic cups to go out camping or whatever. But then you have those special ones that you've bought for a special occasion, or you've bought for, oh, when those people come round, I'm not going to get the plastic cups. This is really nice, right? Mm. We bought some things when we've been in Holland. We're like, oh, special occasion, this comes out. Maybe we should, you know, buy all new cups. No, it's too expensive. Andrea wants to redo our cupboards. Not yet. Isn't that the case, though? And he says, Paul says to Timothy, you know, purify yourself from all the stuff of life. Like there's so many things. Some are sinful. Of course, we want to throw that off. But some are also just not beneficial. You know, he says, you know, might not be sin, but is it doing you any good? You know, is it making you more like Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually says, well, throw it off. And again, there's that relationship between, well, I can't make myself more holy, but I can still make choices, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
are we willing this year, at the start of this year, to put ourselves on that potter's wheel and say, God, form me, shape me, like Andrew shared earlier, but form my thoughts, my attitude of my heart. And when we pray that, you know, David prays, search me, Lord. Maybe things come up that we don't like. But then don't jump off the potter's wheel. I know this is a bit funny. That's my next point. When it gets uncomfortable, do we want to jump off the wheels? Like, oh, that was nice, Lord, but that's a bit too much now.
Mm.
No, the clue is to stay there. Stay in that place of humility, of surrender. But then, you know, that sounds all good. And it doesn't all just happen in our, you know, time with Jesus. It actually happens in community too. We might nudge each other a little bit and actually, oh, okay, God, form and shape me in that. Or it might be at work or in your family or where you need extra grace, extra patience. Well, in those times, let's not just, you know, park all that, but actually, God, form me, shape me. Let me be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let me have grace and patience with people so that when people meet me, they meet Jesus. They taste
Amen.
Something of God.
Amen.
And then my fourth thing with this picture, do we trust the process? Do we trust the process in the master's hands? Because when he starts, it's, you know, it's a lump of clay. It's not particularly beautiful unless you like that color. And he starts with the raw material and he puts lots of water on it. I don't know if you've ever seen one make it. And then that wheel turns and he starts and he kind of, has anyone ever seen one do it? Online on, it kind of builds it up and sometimes they push it back again, don't they?
Mm.
And it's kind of this engagement process between the master's hands and the clay. And then step by step, the vessel becomes bigger. And not that I'm an expert, but sometimes when I've seen it, the way they do the smaller bits, like when the vase goes in, they make it normal and then they just push it slightly in.
Mm.
but because of the turning. So it's actually it's a beautiful process, even just looking at the process. And obviously later they painted and all that. But do we trust, do you trust, do I trust that putting my life there in God's hands, they are in the hands of a master potter, master creator, the one who created the universe, like he wants to form our life. I think that's stunning, that's amazing, that's awe-inspiring. But would we be willing to put ourselves there and then trust him in the process? And for me, that's a little bit what prayer and fasting is like. I put myself there intentionally, and sometimes it hurts a little bit. And the last few times when we did prayer and fasting, I tried to stretch myself and I felt that was right. And, you know, sometimes it wasn't easy. But if I look back, those were the times I had the greatest breakthrough because my prayer life changed. There was a depth of compassion for people I didn't have, or there was a perspective that suddenly changed. And it was in the times where I chose to stretch, not torture myself, right? But you just stretch yourself a bit and say, God, instead of that, and for me it is food, God, I look to you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship, whatever it is, right? We don't want to do works in the flesh, but it's just leaning into him. And I know when I look back, those were the times I had the most breakthroughs. And I felt God gave me this kind of sentence. You can just leave that picture up, Kurt, for a while. That he wants to shape and form our rhythms of life. So, you know, if you think about your week, you probably know what you do on a, well, Sunday, you're here, welcome, just to let you know you're here. You know kind of what your Mondays look like and your Tuesdays, and there's a kind of a rhythm to your week. There's probably things that move around, but generally speaking, most of us probably have some kind of up and down and rhythm and who we spend time with and where we go for a walk and where we go to work and what time we get up in the morning. And I felt God encourage and challenge, whatever way you want to look at it, us, that to open our hearts up to him to speak to us. It's like, where is that time where maybe you get up 5 minutes earlier, you know, for the prayer and fasting to do whatever he puts on your heart? Maybe it's calling a friend. Maybe it's, you know, whatever the things in your weekly rhythm that can shift a little bit to make space for God.
Amen.
But then what I want to encourage us with, and this might not encourage you, but encourages me. I found that when we've made changes to our week, which we thought was just going to be a week of prayer and fasting or two, we've actually kept some of that. So, but, you know, maybe 1 year was we tried to acknowledge God, you know, kind of in the middle of the day somewhere, because it's easy to pray in the morning and then just get on with it and forget about him, right? So, I don't know, around 2 or 3 o'clock, we tried to pause, put something to the side and just pray. Now, we started eating again after prayer and fasting, but that moment of acknowledging God somewhere in the middle, that kept, not always, right? You kind of, but actually that became a healthy rhythm that we added to somewhere in the afternoon. I just stop and I just connect. 5 minutes. Doesn't take long, right? So what started maybe in a prayer and fasting time as a discipline, oh, I'm not used to this. I'm actually hungry. I want to, you know, I'm going to do this for 20 minutes now. That can become potentially maybe God saying, oh, let me reshape your rhythm. Let that become part of your, yeah? And how maybe where you were in a situation where you would have reacted otherwise, just those 5 minutes can change your upcoming conversation. Or another example, this is not to point to us, but just to give you ideas. There was one time a while ago, we thought, okay, let's stop having breakfast for those few days or whatever. And we just pray together. And obviously, I like my breakfast, so that was a sacrifice. But actually, the praying together, choosing to, at the start of every day, that worked for us, to say, we're going to pray for our day. Okay, right, what do we pray? Oh, yeah, that conversation. Let's pray for it. You know, you kind of do that in your own time and as you go about it. But there was something in that prayer and fasting, the intentional coming together, praying for the day. And pretty much since then, we've kept that. So I'm having breakfast, you know, I'm having breakfast. But then afterwards, we make sure we get up a bit earlier to make sure we have those 15, 20 minutes. We pray together for the day. And I think it's impacted our relationship. It's impacted our day. You know, all those prayer cards we have every Sunday to pray for people. Most mornings, we forget sometimes, we stand there together doing that. You know, it's the little tweaks that might happen in a week that suddenly become a rhythm. And think of all the people that if you prayed 5 minutes every morning for them, what would happen in their lives? So that's one thing. I'll leave the other examples. I'll come back to that. But one just little testimony from our holidays. We were in Germany to see my family. And one of our, I think it came out of prayer and fasting, was I need to be praying for my family to come back together. They were different in the wider family. People we haven't talked to for a while, and aunties and uncles fallen out. You know, things that happen, right? I haven't talked to cousins for years. Anyway, so we prayed, and, you know, you do it every morning and then you forget all that. But this Christmas, we came home to my family. I was like, oh, your cousin's around from Berlin. Do you want to meet up? No, I haven't seen him for, I think, around 12 years. It's like, oh, right, my first day here. Yeah, let's make a time. And Andrea's just like, we've been praying for this. And I was like, oh, yeah, we have. I forgot, you know. Yeah. And then something else happened. Another auntie came around. Anyways, my mum ended up booking the kind of communal area where my grandparents live. My grandparents are almost 90. We ended up having a bit of a reunion of 23 family members. Mm. Two-thirds of them I haven't seen and talked to for at least 12 years. I think it's 12 to 15. My mum says it's 15 to 20 years. I don't know where. But it's way before COVID and before I came to England was the last time I saw most of those people. And some of them are married, some of them are children. Oh, I've never met your children. I got names of wives mixed up, which was really embarrassing when I introduced them. Anyways, but just that togetherness, you think, God, you know, you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And you think, and not that it's all about our prayer, does that make sense? But we know prayer works, right? Mm-hmm. And actually just the setting ourselves to pray. Amen. And then actually talking to my aunties and them saying, we're praying too. And suddenly you have this connection. I'm like, I haven't seen you for 10, wow. 12 years, but there's a connection that, you know, that's special, right? Some people couldn't make it, but my granddad gets 90 next year. So we're praying and looking forward to that. And then my next step, my challenge this year is I need to pray that they come back to Jesus, because some of my cousins, they just don't really want to know, you know. But actually, I've seen so much now, even if I forgot to pray sometimes, like what happens if we would set ourselves to pray? So I want to encourage you with that. Now, can you get the Ephesians 6 scripture up, Kurt? Because when we talk about prayer, there's lots of different kinds of prayer, right? In Ephesians 6, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, or pray in the Spirit or led by the Spirit. And then it says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Because when I say prayer, what kind of prayer do you think? Like, what's your go-to prayer? What kind of thing do you pray? What might that sound like? Because there are different kinds of prayers, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And there's no wrong answers here. You can kind of say what you like.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. So you give thanks. That's a really good prayer. Well done, Kurt. Star. Get sticker later. Any other kind of prayer? What?
Praying in tongues if you don't know what to pray.
Praying in tongues or praying with the Holy Spirit, yeah.
Provisions,
yeah. That can be both thanking God or asking Him, like, help. I need provision, right? Asking Him.
Persistence.
Persistence in prayer. So it might
direction.
Be a... Say it again?
Direction.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also kind of asking, you know.
Healing,
yeah. Say it again.
Worship,
yeah. So adoration, actually, it's. I don't need to ask right now. I just need to give back to God and be caught up with Him and not think about me, actually, isn't it? That's another kind of expression. Yeah.
Repenting,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That often does go with fasting, doesn't have to, but turning back to God, it's like, oh, I've walked this way, actually. And sometimes it doesn't have to be this massive turn, right? It can just be just recalibrate, just realign. That's the way. Just some other ones I was thinking about. Adoration, worship, but also meditation, like reflecting on the word, you know, going, mulling over, chewing it. Couldn't sleep last night at the start. And then I was just going over that verse I was reading and mulling over it. And it's you're kind of talking to God, but you're also just thinking it through. But it does something to you, doesn't it? I was thinking of how prayer, prayer changes things, but prayer changes us too, right? So if you go back to the potter's wheel, Kurt, prayer is obviously, you know, God, you know, work in my family or work in my cousins or work in, you know, all of our lives. Or God, give me direction, give me provision. But as I pray that, and we were chatting about it earlier, it also makes me more dependent on Him. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm praying maybe to receive something, a healing or whatever, or we repent. But it's not just saying those words. It's actually actively saying, God, as I pray, thank you, you change me. We all know this. When we start praying for people, we get a heart for them, right? If you see lots of people around you that are poor, you probably already have that, oh God, if just something, you know. But then think of those different kinds of prayers. We said worship, asking, thanksgiving. I also thought about, you know, kind of a bit of authority. Sometimes there's something that rises up in you, like, this is enough. We're not going to have this. Or you said the persistent, there's the story of persistent widow. She's hammering every day, the dog on the judge's door. Come on, come on. Different kind of prayer, right? Or we were singing in our first song, Come Alive. It's obviously a quotation from a passage where God says to someone in the Old Testament, you prophesy to these bones, come alive. It's a different kind of prayer, right? So you're hearing something, you're declaring it, you're speaking life. And I had this phrase in my head that hopefully helps us, the multifaceted muscle of prayer. So if I lift something like this, how many muscles do you think that takes? I Googled it, because I didn't know either. How many, anyone want to guess? I'm lifting this glass.
10, 15.
Okay, the glass is not very full. 10?
Yeah.
30?
Yeah.
Any other?
How many muscles?
Well, actually, Google couldn't tell me either. Oh. So I don't actually know.
ChatGPT.
Google AI didn't know either. But it did say to me that there's lots of muscles that are involved. Yeah. So not that medical, but there's different ones in your shoulder, right? Then obviously my hand's grabbing it, my arm's stabilizing, I'm lifting. That's my back as well. So, and then I thought about prayer again. And I thought prayer is not just the one thing. Like, to do this job, I actually need different muscles. So sometimes I need to ask God for help, right? God, not help me lift the glass, but God with this family, whatever it is, I'm asking. But actually, if asking is one of the muscles, then worship could be another one. Okay, I don't want to ask you 20 times. I've asked you. Now I just worship you. And I thank you that you are enough. You are more than I need. And I turn to thanksgiving. That's my three shoulder muscles done. Tick. Does that make sense? There is different. So when we say prayer and fasting, I think a lot of us go, oh yeah, that means this for me. Prayer is this. This is my comfort zone. When someone says pray, I bow my head and I'm quiet. For others, pray and we get loud. You know, that's another strand of the muscle. None of these expressions is better or worse or right or wrong, if that makes sense. But I feel like what God wants to say to us is he wants to train the multifaceted muscle of prayer so that both our worship gets strengthened. So maybe in the prayer and fasting, God will stretch you a bit of just worship a bit longer. Just put another track on, or when the track finishes, that you put on your Spotify or whatever, just sing that chorus again. Just look at him. Just get caught up with him. That's what I think worship does a lot for me. I just forget about everything. I'm just like, wow, God, you are the God of miracles. Like, what am I worrying about, right? Because in your asking prayer, you could be so worried that you ask and ask and ask, but you actually have lost sight of the Almighty God. So yes, do ask, God, help, provide, heal. But then also, okay, God, part of the other muscle is I'm just going to worship. I'm just going to adore. But in that place, and some of us lean more towards that than others, God wants to speak to us. So it's developing the muscle of hearing. Mm-hmm. Hearing comes by the word, and hearing comes also in a place where we just fix our eyes on him. So praying and worshiping and having just your Bible open, and it could just be Psalm 23. That's a real okay go-to, right? And just, okay, God, you're my good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, you are my shepherd. So worship and thanksgiving, two muscles there. Thank you, you're my shepherd. Thank you that you care for me. Thank you that you provide this year. And what happens, faith rises in you. So your perspective changes. So again, prayer changes things, but prayer changes me. But in that place, you might have this thought, oh, I think I just need to speak this phrase. I just need to declare that. It's another aspect of prayer that, like Andrea was sharing earlier, or the song was saying, prophesy, come alive. And some of us lean more to that. I'm quite quick in that sometimes. I just declare life, you know? And sometimes I don't know what else to declare. But actually, God, I want to be caught up with you. I want to hear you. Develop, strengthen that muscle. But you don't want me just to ask you things in prayer. You also want me to hear truth and your word and your thoughts that are higher than mine. Your ways are higher than mine. And you have good plans, good thoughts. You shared that earlier. Now you want me to declare that as a child of God, confident in who I am. And so when my situation looks dry and dead, we know the Ezekiel passage, don't we? That actually the word of the Lord is life. And that is a muscle to strengthen. We're just looking at doing some more fitness and gym things again. We haven't decided yet, but we're looking into it. But what we need to do, basically, we need to strengthen muscles. And that if you pray like that once and it doesn't work for you, that's not the end of the goal. The potter doesn't start and then stop. So if that muscle of, I need to declare life, I need to speak truth, it might sound good to you, but are we actually declaring it over our lives, over our families? Are we speaking life? Are we speaking God's goodness? So allow God, I want to encourage you, put yourself on the potter's wheel, like, God, what aspect, what muscle of lifting this glass, what muscle do you want to strengthen? Is it worship? Is it stillness? Is it mulling over the word, meditating? That's transforming you. I'll promise you, because the word promises us. What's the best prayer? What's the right prayer? When I was thinking about it, I thought it's the appropriate prayer. You can't say asking God is always right. You can't also say declaring is always right. It says in that scripture, if you can put Ephesians up again, pray in the Spirit. Or I was looking at it as pray led by the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Because in one moment, as I just shared, you know, you just need to worship. Another time, you just need to declare. Sometimes we just need to humble ourselves and repent for us, for others. So what is the right prayer in your situation? Lean into God and you will know. You will almost naturally pray the right thing. If you keep leaning into Him, keep putting yourselves in the potter's wheel. What's the best tool for a job? If you like DIY, what's the best tool? The appropriate one. Just pick the right tool, right? Prayer changes things. Prayer changes us. And then in Daniel 10, 12, which actually talks about prayer and fasting as well. Daniel is in a time of, I'm going to set myself and I'm going to fast. And I think at that point, it's 3 weeks. And then he has this encounter with God. And this man or this angel says to him, fear not, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart, can you see that? There's a point that Daniel decided, I'm going to set my heart. Amen. I'm going to set myself. And obviously heart in that language and culture is your inner being, your intentions, your motives. It's not just, oh, that's a good idea for this week. No, I'm going to set myself that way. And so what does it say? From the first day that you set your heart to understand and you humbled yourself, that's a good thing we can do, before God, your words have been heard. And I won't go too much into that because there's lots in the passage of what happens after and around it. But it's this thing, sometimes we think, oh, I'm just doing this. Is it even working? But God will always honor when we set ourselves. Amen. If you seek me, you find me. It's who He is. It's what He's promised. He's always faithful. So however you feel about this year of prayer and fasting, I want to encourage you to choose to set yourself. God hears. Your words have been heard and I've come because of your words. Something always happens. Like even with my cousins, I forgot. We stopped praying for them at some point because it's just another thing on the list. But I'm like, oh my goodness, I had a wake up call. I need to be praying because I haven't seen these people for years. And my, you know, mom and the sisters, they actually connected and they had fallen out. And my granddad is there and he prayed and people have heard a prayer and they haven't been to church for 10 years. Like, this is good. I need to set myself again. I need to set myself again. So I want to encourage you. You know, at the end of last year, I shared about Mary in the Christmas story. You know, the angel comes, Mary, you will conceive. And she's like, how's that going to work? The Holy Spirit will come on you and you will conceive. And I encourage us to think and pray. And maybe you have, maybe you start now. God, what do you want me to carry that is of God? God, what do you want to do in me? And just as I close, just this last thought, sometimes we know what that is. Some of us know. Some of us are maybe more goal-orientated or focused-minded. I like to think that way. I need to know what I'm doing. I need to know where I'm going. And I'm running. I'm like, let's go. Right? I know the what. But then how am I going to get there? If even on a physical level, if you want to be fit in a certain way or if whatever, there are steps towards that. Don't just think about going to the gym. You need to actually go to the gym to get there. But also spiritually, if you want that prayer muscle to grow, if you want a closer walk with God, there's things we can do. The 5-minute change here, the skipping that, putting that in our lives. And actually, not even just us doing stuff, right? It's putting ourselves there. God, form me, shape me. So that's the what, but then the how. Sometimes we don't know the what. We don't, I mean, if we're honest, maybe probably at least half of us don't know the thing God has for us sometimes. But we actually know the process. We know it's good to surrender. We know our character always needs to reflect more Jesus. So the safe thing, this is going to be my thing, the safe thing is just put yourself there. If you don't have the vision for this year or you don't have the answer for that family situation, just put yourself there. Mm-hmm. Just put yourself in that place. God, work on me. I don't know what you're going to do with my family, but I'm going to set myself to pray. And I thank you that things will change, but that I will change and something good's going to happen. And we can always be confident that God has good things. So if Mary was carrying something of Jesus, we are all carrying something of God. Mm. If you know what that is, go for it. Ask God, help me get, you know, what are the steps practically in my life? Mm. If you don't know the what, we still know the journey. We still know how God wants us to live. We still know how he wants us to become. So as I just close, let's just close our eyes for a minute. And I just want to read one last scripture in 1 Corinthians 9. Which is actually about fitness and running and all that. And Paul talks to a culture where, you know, in Greece, the Olympic Games, all that was picking up. And he says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners are running? Sorry, all runners are running, but only one receives the prize. And then he says, run that you may obtain it. So if God has put things in your heart, you know your what, so to speak. Yes, part of us can say, well, I can just sit back and watch and trust God. That's kind of that pendulum I was showing earlier. It's just, okay, God will just do it. Well, he kind of will. But some of us, and I include myself in that, sometimes I go to the other end and I say, oh, I've got something from God. I now need to do it. Also not fully healthy, right? But what we need to do is, God, you've given me a dream. You've given me a vision. I have a sense of something I think you want to do. Teach me your way then. I'm going to put myself on the potter's wheel. Is there something in my week that needs to shift? If God is speaking to you about the word, for example, reading the word, so what are you actually going to do about it? Where are those 5-10 minutes that you're going to change in your week to do it? Not just the what, but the how. All runners run, but run that you get that prize. Every athlete, it says here, exercises self-control in all things. You know, they eat certain things, they don't eat certain things. They have a goal and they live a lifestyle that matches that, that works towards that. But then Paul says, they do it to receive a perishable wreath, like a prize. But we get something imperishable. And verse 26 says, and I love this, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. What is he saying? He says, God gives me focus and vision, whether that's a specific thing or just following him and living for him and going after him, setting my heart on him. I now need to live in a way that lines up with that. But I know as I do that, I will reap the results. And Lord, I want to thank you that you have good plans for us. Thank you that you have plans for us to prosper us. Thank you that you don't have plans to harm us, but to prosper us, and they're good. Lord, again, I pray that we would, as we set ourselves this year, you would shape and form our hearts, our lives, our attitude, our perspective, life that, like that potter in the wheel, our characters. You would shape us more into how you are and who you are. And when people meet us, they taste something of God. They taste the compassion, the love, the kindness, the beauty of Jesus. But Lord, I also pray that in our practical week in and week out, would you speak to us where you want something to be tweaked? It might be a 5-minute here, it might be half an hour here, whatever it is that you're saying to us. And you know our unique scenarios and the challenges and the opportunities they bring. Lord, would you shape and form, yes, our hearts, yes, our lives, but would you shape and form our lives practically, how we spend time, who we spend time with, what we do in the time that you have given us. Help us to steward well. And Lord, I thank you that like Mary, she received something from God. She was carrying Jesus. It was, how would it happen? The Holy Spirit would come upon her and you will conceive, the angel said. Wow. And she just said, let it be to me according to your word. That was her saying, okay, I'm going to put myself on that potter's wheel. I'm going to put myself in the will of God, in the way of God. Lord, in that place, would you then work in me? Would you speak to me? Would you do whatever you've purposed to do? Lord, I pray that we would not be hearers only. I pray that we would be active in our lives, doers of the word, not just of what I've just shared, but whatever you speak to us over these next few weeks, for this year and for our lives, help us not just to be inspired and topped up and energized by it. Help us, help that word to transform us, change us, mold us into the people you have called us to be, individually, together, in our workplaces, in our families, that the Jesus life kind of leaks out, that people are touched by God, that when people look at us, they see values they haven't seen anywhere else. They see a love they haven't seen anywhere else. Lord, we want to carry what you've put in us, what you've given us. We want to carry it well. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.